Lord God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts, let it be acceptable, O Lord, in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. If you might just sit with me and play with me today for a little while. When you walked into worship this morning, you should have gotten a little thing of Play-Doh. If you did not get one, where my ushers at? If you did not get one, thank you. If you did not get one, let me see your hand if you didn't get one. If you didn't get one, everybody got one? Good. Because this is the one time, won't happen that often, but this is one time actually during the sermon, you get to play with the Play-Doh. So you can open your Play-Doh and play with it all you want. And we might even have some extras if you didn't get the color you wanted. But there may be some extras, but I want you to open your Play-Doh and play with it. For many of us growing up as children, at some point in our journey, we got Play-Doh. And the whole point about Play-Doh was that you could mold it and shape it. And you could decide that the design that you had originally, well, it didn't really fit what you thought or what you wanted, and so what you did was you would remold it and reshape it. I loved it because with our kids, when they had Play-Doh, it kept them busy for a long time. Now I will admit that I had to debate when I went to the store to get this whether I would get the little ones or the big ones, but I was afraid that y'all might get a little messy, so you only got the little ones. Plus, it was the best way to do this anyway. So this morning, you get to play with your Play-Doh during the sermon. Our sermon this morning comes to us from the book of Jeremiah. And our title this morning is called Rework. Reworked. You know, quite often in our lives, not simply with Play-Doh, but quite often in our lives, we have an opportunity to rework. If you notice, when you went to school as an elementary school student, they'd give you a pencil with an eraser. Why did you have an eraser? Well, you had an eraser in case you made a mistake. You had an eraser so that you could rework the paper that you had finished. When they came out with typewriters, they also created you could get the liquid that you could actually go through and just take out the marks that you'd made, go back and retype. Now, I wasn't a typer back in the day. I relied on my girlfriend at the time, which was Barbara, because I was really not the typer person for college. And that was still back in the day before we had the computer age that we have now. And even now, in the computer age that we have now, we have that what's called delete button. You can go in and delete, or you can backspace, and it'll take out what you put in so you can rework it again. Say it again. Control C. I never figured out Control C, actually. I know it's there and I know it has a purpose, but whenever Barbara tried to teach me how to use it, which she did, it was one of those skills I never developed. I know it's there. Thank you for sharing it with me, Cheryl, but I never did get it. I still don't got it. But the point I'm trying to make is there in our lives, there are opportunities for us to do rework. And today is the official start of the NFL season for me, so I wore my cowboy tie. I wore my cowboy tie. For me. Thursday didn't count for me. It didn't count for me. Today is the official start of football for me. But what's great about sports, and any sports for that matter, is you have what's called timeouts. Or in football, you have a halftime. The whole point about halftime is, one, to give everybody some rest. Let's admit that it's to give everybody a break. But it also, what good coaches do, what great coaches do at halftime, is they let their players go in and get refluid up and everything, but then they're immediately looking at the first half to see, what did we do? What do we need to rework? What do we need to change? And good coaches, when they come back out at halftime, they make what's called adjustments. So that what happens is, what happened to them in the first half, if it's working well, a lot of times they'll keep doing it. But if it's not working well, they will rework their whole game plan so that what happens is they hopefully come out better in the second half than they did in the first half. And I don't know about you, but when I look at my team in the first half and then I get to the second half, I'm trusting that they did some rework. That doesn't always happen, just so you know, because they'll come out in the second half and I'm like, they're doing the same thing they've always done. And there's a phrase that I learned a long time ago, which is, if you always do what you've always done, you'll get what you always got. So I look at that and there's an opportunity to rework. And so here we are this morning with the text that's found in Jeremiah. And Jeremiah is called to speak to political leaders and to nations. And he's called to tell them about the words of thus saith the Lord. And in this particular passage, we hear that when Jeremiah speaks to God, God says to Jeremiah, come with me for a minute. I want to take you to the potter's house. Pottery was a tremendously big business in the days of Jeremiah and even throughout the Israelite Judea community all the way through Jesus. Pottery was a big part of how you did things, as you've seen in last Sunday's bulletin when we talk about the broken pot and the cisterns that were broken. That's how you carried your water. That's how you stored your food. Pottery was a big thing in that day and time. But Jesus in this particular message is saying, God is saying to his people, and he's saying to them, I want you to go with me to the potter's house. And when he gets to the potter's house, God then begins to tell him and speak to him in this phrase, in this metaphorical dialogue. He says, look at the potter. See as he spins his wheel. See as he begins to turn and shape the pot. And as he begins to shape the pot, there becomes a dent in it. There becomes a mistake in it. There becomes something that the pottery would not sell or would not fit in the keel well. It would not be the pot that would hold things in sustenance, in goodness. And so God says, look at what the potter does. I don't know if you've ever watched a pottery maker before or even a glass maker. One of the things that I enjoyed doing when I lived in New York was going to Corning, and we would go to the Corning Museum, Barbara and I, and we took the kids with us and we'd go down to see how they made glass and how they could reshape it and remold it and what it came out to be. And what they would do is when it didn't turn out the way they had imagined, as the potter does, the potter takes the shape that is not the way in which he wanted, and he takes it off. But here's what he does. He doesn't throw it away. He doesn't throw it away. He actually reworks it. He reforms it. He remolds it. He rewets it. He starts again, and he then begins to recreate the pot in which he has originally designed. And God says to Jeremiah, look at this pottery. Can I not do the same with my people? Can I not rework them? Can I not reshape them? Can I not remold them in the image of their God? Can I not bring them in a light that will make them a more perfect being? Can I bring them to a light that is more about doing what is right in the world? Can I not turn them away from their wicked ways and their desires to be with other gods? Can I not rework them? God doesn't say in this passage that he wants to throw them away, that he wants to cast them aside, that he wants to turn his back on them. God is telling Jeremiah, and he's wanting the people to hear, I want to reshape you, remold you. You may have diverted and gone in this direction, and you should have kept straight, or you've gone in this direction, and you should have gone left, but I don't want to toss you away. I want to keep you, and I want to return you. Is that not what parents do? Is that not what we do with our children? Is that not what an employer wants to do with an employee? Is that not what God desires of us, to look at us and to reshape us and to remold us from that for which is not of God to that which is of God? And so he tells Jeremiah, and he shows Jeremiah in specifically what he desires. He desires to reshape the world, to reshape the people of Israel in a way that is right, true, and just. Is that not what the potter desires to do with you and me. Valerie, we are not always going to get it right. We are not always going to do what God desires of us. There are times when God is going to ask us to step out into a place that is very uncomfortable, and we're going to want to take a step back. There are times when God is going to say to us, now I know those thoughts you have about your neighbor. We need to rework those thoughts. We need to we need to change those. There are times in a marriage, Valerie. Look out now. There are times in the marriage it needs to be reworked. You know what I'm saying? It needs to be reworked. Because the spouse, woo, needs some work. I've needed work, Valerie. I ain't gonna lie, I'll tell you straight up. I was not good, but I got there. And every once in a while, Valerie, I still have to be reworked. You know what I'm saying? Everybody, God was saying to Jeremiah, as I believe God is saying to you and to me today, where is it that you and I need to be reworked? Where is it that we need to look at a nation right now that right now still strives to find our differences rather than our collectiveness, love for one another? Where is it that we need to be worked to stand on God's unchanging hands, even in the midst of what's going on in our world? Where is it that we need to be reworked so that we can be the voice, the hands and the feet of God in a world that right now wants to find everything that we dislike about each other rather than finding the commonness that we have as a people of God? It is so easy. It is so easy in today's time. Quite frankly, one of the scary things in our world is how quickly we are always being taught to just buy something new. The culture, the society right now, the economic culture of the society is always driving us to buy the newest and latest thing. We don't want to take something and look at it and go, how can I just touch that up? How can I just go and get... Sometimes, George, all it needs is a new screw. But we want to go buy something new. Sometimes all it needs, God, is for you to sit down with that stranger who comes to your door and says, hey, I just want to know, can I have $5 for milk? Sometimes all it takes is for you and I to turn back from that sense of fear that we might have, oh, who is that coming at our door? Rather than walking on the front porch and saying, hey, how you doing, man? I'm sorry you're in this situation. I really am. Let's have a conversation. I may have the $5, I may not, but guess what? I'm going to treat you in the humane way that God calls me to. I'm going to rework my thoughts about who's coming knocking on my door to changing those thoughts to say, how can I be the love of God? How can I be the image of God who made me be that same image for you? How can I be that same image in the midst of the children who are going to school, who are going without food and their table, who are going without clean clothing? How can I be that image of God in a world that desires us, you and me, to be the image of God in the world today? You and I are called to love no matter what. Yes, you and I are called to be God in the world no matter what. When you said yes to Jesus, you said yes to God, you said yes to the Spirit, it means that you are saying yes. And you're not only saying yes to that, but you're saying also, God, every once in a while, I need to be reworked. Every once in a while, I need to get a tune-up. Every once in a while, I need to be reshaped and remolded into something because I've kind of pulled away from you. I've begun to fall into what society claims me to be rather than who you desire me to love. Children of God, just as you play with the Play-Doh that you have this morning and realize how easily, check this out, how easily it is for you to reshape that dough in your hand. That's how easy it is to be reshaped in the image of God when you've strayed, when you've turned away, when we've backed away, when we returned in a different direction. It is that easy, for God offers that sense of renewal and reworking with each and every one of us. You and I are bound to be pots of love and grace and mercy. You and I are designed to be people who love no matter what and no matter where. You and I are designed by the great potter, God self, so that you and I are the true images of who God desires to be in the world. I trust this morning that you are willing to be reworked. I trust that you're not just willing to be reworked today, but you're willing to be reworked whenever God desires. Because guess what? We all got blemishes. We all got some things in our past and some things that are coming in our future that are going to test us to still be the image of God in the world in which we live. As long as we live on this earth, there are going to be times when you and I are going to develop bumps in our shape. We are going to make some mistakes along the way. But are we willing, and even in the midst of those times, to be reshaped, to be rearranged, to be changed, and allow the Spirit of the living God to fall upon us and to make us fresh and to make us new, to make us whole in the name of Christ? Today, I hope and I pray that you and I have heard the Potter's word to us individually, and we are ready to be reshaped into what God desires us to be. My brothers and sisters, God is the shaper and creator. May God place you on the wheel of life and shape you into an image that will be beautiful and magnificent. And that in those moments when you feel like you just don't know which way to go and what to do, know that God will not throw you away. God will not cast you aside. For like the potter, God will hold you, fold you, mold you, caress you. And even in those darkest moments or those highest experiences, God will reshape you into the goodness and the greatness that God desires in you, through you, and from you. Amen.